parsha Shalach, the parsha of the Meraglim, and the parsha of Tzitzis, the parsha of Nesachim, the parsha of Truma, I mean of Chala, and the parsha of the various Averois that are done b'shoyig by the leaders of Klal Yisrael. A lot of many inyanim appear in this week's parsha. Okay, so let's begin with something that I saw actually in the Oitzer Pilaos HaTorah, which we used this week from Wolf Zichrman. He cites something there which is like Kishmoy Kachu, the name of the sefer, and the word that appears in that sefer only a billion times, a Pella, a wonder. What's the Pella that he's referring to? A Yushalmi and a Toisvis. I forgot which Masechta. It's a Toisvis in the Bavli. I don't remember where he cites the source, but it's a Yushalmi as well. That tells us that there's an opinion that there were really 24 Meraglim. Even though the Pasuk enumerates 12 Meraglim, we go through the first Aliyah, the Eile Shemay Sam, Lamate Ruvein Shemay Ben Zakur, Lamate Shemay Shafat Ben Chor. We go through the 12 Nisim, the 12 leaders of the Shevatim, and they, each Shevet had a representative, and they were a total sum of 12 people, including Kolev and Yehoshua, and they come back and they issue a slanderous report with the exception of Kolev and Yehoshua. So there's a grand total of 12 minus two tzaddikim, and we all know the famous Maamar Chazal. How do we know that a minyan requires 10 people? How do we know a minyan requires 10 people? Because Gzer Shava, toich, v'nikdashli besoich b'nei Yisrael, that Hashem says, I will be sanctified b'soich b'nei Yisrael. And it says, he bodlu mitoich ho'edo ho'ro'o and mosai mitoich ho'edo ho'ro'o hazois. Separate mitoich ho'edo ho'ro'o hazois. Yotzo Yeshua v'kolei. The Eda here are 12 people, excluding ho'ro'o ho'edo ho'ro'o. Only the evildoers, not including Yeshua v'kolei. So therefore, there's a grand total of 10. Everyone knows this. It's very fundamental that there are only 12 Meraglim. Because if you're going to say there are more than 12 Meraglim, you're going to have a very big problem when it comes to making a minyan. Because the Makar to make a minyan is from the Meraglim. There were 12 Meraglim. We're going to exclude Yehoshua v'Kalev. We're left with 10. The 10 are the Eda Horo'o Hazois. And it says, Hashem says to Moshe, he bodlu mitoich edo horo'o hazois, the word mitoich, and it says word mitoich in regard to davarsha b'kedusha, v'nigdashli b'soich b'nei Yisrael, so therefore there are 10. Now, by the way, this is going off on a small tangent, we'll use the word again, a kella, a wonder, that this should be the source for a minyan, when the source is 10 evil people. 10 people who are ho'edo hora'a. When you have a minyan, you would like to have tzadikim, or at least a mix. A tzibur is Rosh Teva is tzadik, ubeinoni, v'rosha. Tzibur. Tzadi is tzadik. Beis is the beinoni. Okay, we'll leave out the vav. And the resh is rosha. So every tzibur has three different types of people. How could it then be that the makor for a minyan, a tzibur, are all evil people? Ho'edo ho'ro'o hazois. So that's a tough question to which there's not too many satisfying answers. The only thing you can really say is what Rashi says here in the beginning of the parasha, is that when they left, they were all tzaddikim. They were all tzaddikim. These people who turned into the edo ho'ro'o hazois, they started out as righteous people. So later they turned evil. That's what a tzibur is. There are different stages in life, right? So it's a transition. That's an answer, but it's not satisfactory. I once actually sort of say to say such a thing is really shocking, but it's a tos hadfus in the Gemara. How can you say a whole piece of Gemara is tos hadfus? And he says the real makar comes from the Achei Yosef. I think we once mentioned this last week. 2 weeks ago, the brothers of Yosef, when they went into Mitzrayim to sing, it says, Vayedu Achei Yosef Asar B'soch HaBoim. B'socha bo'im, Rashi says, they went on all different entrance points to Egypt because they were looking for Yosef. They decided they're going to buy him back. They realized they made a mistake. They wanted to do teshuvah, and they wanted to take him back at any cost. So they went out on searching. And the part of their tactic, their technique was, each brother should enter from a different gate. And that's why it was called Besoch HaBoim, amongst the whole world that went down to Egypt to purchase grain. So there it says the word Besoch HaBoim. And how many brothers went down to Egypt to purchase bread? 10. 10. There were 12 Shvatim. Yosef was sold, and Binyamin did not go. So there were exactly 10. And here, look what they were doing. They were all coming together to retrieve their brother. How more beautiful could it be? They're all coming together for achdus, brotherhood.
But isn't that also a bad example of the minyan? The minyan, they buried them in one room. Here, they were all scattered all over the place.
It doesn't say that in Chazal. That's the problem. It's a very nice drush. But that's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara makes it clear as day. To say, I saw a kadmon. This is not from someone today. This is from way, way back. At least 200-300 years. Is it the Gemara, the Torah Satzfus, the printer put in the wrong pasuk. Doesn't seem like that. From that they put in the wrong pasuk. It seems pretty deliberate that it's besoch ha'edo ha'ra'azas. Now here's what I want to get to. What I want to spend some time on this is that there's a Yerushalmi, and Tosfos mentions this in the Bavli. It says in the pasuk here, shlach lecha, it says when he begins to send them out, it says, the second pasuk, shlach lecha anoshim, v'yosuru es eretz kanan, ashrani nosein levnei Yisrael, ish echad, ish echad. What's the repetition? Ish echad, ish echad. Why does the pasuk repeat itself? So you'll answer, Dibra Torah Kilashayim B'nei Adam. That's what we have to say. We have no choice but to say. That's why there's repetition. The Yerushalmi says no. It says, ish echad, because there was double. There was a team. Each Shevet had a minister and had an assistant. And when the pasuk goes on to list Lamatei Ruvain Shamua ben Zakur, it means Shamua ben Zakur and his deputy.
Does it mean the one who counted them? Why are these princes different than the ones who did the counting?
It doesn't say anywhere at the end. It was exactly 12. It doesn't say the number 12 anywhere in this parsha. No.
I have this question. Last week we learned the counting, and they had the 12 leaders of the tribe.
Okay.
None of those are the same as these 12 leaders.
No.
Okay.
Why is that?
I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know.
They were older.
I don't know the answer, but these were the representatives that were sent. But it doesn't...
Those other 12 been... If they were,
they were not the Nesim. Obviously, these were not the Nesim. These were Anoshim, Roshe, they were leaders. Yeah. Each Shevet, obviously...
They were not the Nesim?
No, I don't think he says not.
But Nesim was the other guy.
Obviously...
Yonah and Uziel use a different word for the word Nasi.
Uh-huh.
In various places in the Chumash.
Okay, obviously, leadership is complex. We all know in government, you know, there are many layers of leaders until you get to the very, very top. There are Nisim. It says here, there are Kulam Anoshim, Roshei Vinei Yisrael Hema. They were leaders. It doesn't say the word Nasi, okay, but they were distinguished people. Rashi says, Anoshim Tzadikim. They were Tzadikim at this point in time. But it says, Ish Echad, Ish Echad. The Yerushalmi says, and Tosfos quotes this Yerushalmi, Ish Echad, Ish Echad, the ones that were listed were the leader, but each leader had a secretary, had a deputy, had an assistant. What's so hard to understand? You have the principal and you have the assistant principal. You have the president, you have the vice president. Okay, it's not so hard to understand. Ish Echad, Ish Echad. So what does that mean then in total? How many people went down? If we count the names listed, 12. So there were 12 times 2. Each one had an assistant. Yeshua had an assistant. Caleb had an assistant. What's the total number? 24.
What happened to
24? And what happens now? And Chazal say he bodlu mitoch ho'edo horo'oh hazos. Who are they? Chazal say chutz mi Yeshua v'kolev, because clearly they're the only two which the Torah later on enumerates as being tzaddikim, Yeshua v'kolev. That means all other 22 turn sour. The other 22 turn sour. And therefore they are...
Maybe their deputies stay with them.
What? Maybe doesn't say that. Because it says, Hibalu mitocha eido haro hazois. Eido haro hazois chutz. Chazal say chutz mi Yeshua v'kolev. The Torah says Yeshua, it says exactly, Kol was rewarded. He was given Chevroin, and Yeshua was rewarded. It doesn't make mention that their deputies were rewarded, any deputy, so therefore the Yerushalmi is...
They were not important. They were put on the side, that's it.
All right, but the Pashtus is, there were 20, according to the Yerushalmi, it's not a theory. The Yerushalmi states, as a matter of fact, there were 24 people who went down to spy the land. And therefore, and from these 24, only 2 remain pure. 22 turn sour. And now these 24, these 22 are called the Eda Horo Hazois. And therefore, the conclusion is, according to the Yerushalmi, there's something that is so shocking you're not going to believe, according to what it says there in the Eitz Plos HaTorah, that when it comes to make a minion, according to the Yerushalmi, you need 22 people. It's hard enough to get 10 people for a minion. Okay? Can you imagine getting 22 people for every time you want to dive a mincha? You must have a minion of 22 people. Now, no one passes like that. No, Yerushalmi doesn't say that. Doesn't actually say that, but that's what the natural conclusion is. And he, this fellow, this Talmud Chacham, Wolf Zicherman, in his Sefer, he discusses this phenomenon of requiring 22 people for a minyan. That's why his Sefer is called Oitzer Pilaos HaTorah. Everything here is off the beaten track. A Pella, to say such a thing, you need 22 people for a minyan. Whoever heard of such a thing? In Echnami, this is Shleika Halacha, hands down, with the Pilpil HaTorah. Why am I telling this to you? Because I want to give you one little hoisafa on this idea. We have a principle that if you have 22,000 Jews, you can make a bracha, special bracha of what's the bracha you make? The special bracha you make when there are 20,000. No, is there a special bracha? Chacham Arazim is only when there are 600,000 Jews. Chacham Arazim. You don't make a bracha. But Chazal say that if there are 22,000 Jews, there's hashroa sashchin. How do you know? It's a pasuk. Shuva Hashem, Rivavos, Alfei Yisrael. Last week's parsha, Vayihi, we say it every day, every Monday, Thursday, Vayihi, bin Nesoya Horoin, Vayoyimir Moshe, Kuma Hashem, Vyafutsu Oivecha Miponecha, Vyanusu Misanecha, Vyanusu Misanecha Miponecha. And then, what's the next pasuk? Uvinucho yomar. What does it mean, those words, uvinucho yomar, when they rested? When the Jews in the desert came to rest, uvinucho yomar. Now, this is a little tricky. Shuvo Hashem. Now, what do those two words mean? So, we're lucky that we have a Targum Unkelis that tells us what those words mean. Otherwise, we would have a very hard time. And he says, he adds a few words into the pasuk. The Targum Unkelis does not always inject additional words into the pasuk, but here he does. Normally it's the style of the Targum Yoinus and Menuzil to inject more words that are not in the pasuk. But here he does. And he means, Beshuva Hashem. It means that when we come to rest, when the Jewish people, Uvinucho Yomar, when the Jewish people, they come to rest in the desert, the Jewish people make a request of Hashem that you, Hashem, should return your divine presence and allow it to rest upon the Jewish people in the new encampment. In other words, the Targum Yonis, the Targum Unkelis, it implies that when the Mishkan was disassembled, the Shekhinah left. The Shekhinah, whatever that means, we don't know what this means, but the Shekhinah, the intensity of the Shekhinah resting on the Aroin in the Kodesh HaKodashim was less. It went into the Anani HaKavod. I don't know what this means, but it wasn't the same. when the Mishkan was erected, there is Shechina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim resting upon the Ara. Now they take everything apart. Well, if everything has been taken apart and the Lohim are carrying everything, so the Shechina is not the same. It's not the same. The Shechina has left. The Shechina has gone somewhere else. Where, I don't know. Now, when they reassemble the Mishkan, put all the pieces back together, it doesn't mean, oh, we put the Mishkan back together, automatically the Ribbono Shel Olam decides he's going to rest his divine presence where it was before. No guarantees. It's a very important thing, a very powerful chiddush. You take it apart, the Mishkan, there are consequences. The consequences are, the Shechina says, bye-bye, I'm out of here. And when you reassemble the Mishkan, it's not coming back. You want the Shechina to come back? Ah, uvenucho yomar. You got to put in a request. Not so easy to put in a request. And what is the request? Shuvo Hashem. Return. Return. Come back home. Come back and rest. Where should I rest? Hashem says. Rivavois alfei Yisrael. Rest upon the multitudes, Klal Yisrael. Why do we choose the term the Rivavois alfei? Our revolver means 10,000. It's the largest number in the Torah. Okay, there's a number, 10,000, special word called a revolver. B'lashon Rabim, Rivavois, it means 2 times 10,000, 20,000. Elef means 1,000. B'lashon Rabim, Alfei means 2,000. 20,000 plus 2,000 is 22,000. Rest your divine presence upon 22,000 people. Why? Who are the 22,000 people? Well, that happened to be the number of Levim. Shevet Levi had exactly, in the census, 22,000 people. So therefore, we're making a request, V'nuchu Yimar Shuva Hashem, Hashem come back, and rest, the Targum says, well, everything I'm telling you is what it says in the Targum. Targum says, rest your divine presence upon, now that we constituted the Mishkan, Shuva Hashem, Rivavois Alfei Yisrael upon Sheva Levi, which represents all Klal Yisrael. This is the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. Okay, now, enter the Koilel. Now comes the Koilel. Drush. We know by now, this what I'm saying now is a little bit extreme. That I now everything else is, I think, is pretty simple, but this is a little bit of a stretch. We know that by the Ribbono Shel Olam, one is 1,000. One day, ki yoim echad beinecha ke'elef shanim. Right? This is a principle. One day by Hashem, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. I don't have on my tongue. There are seven. There are six. What's it? Ki elef shanim beinecha ki yoim echa. The pasuk. What more could you want? Okay. In time, there's a principle that one day is like 1,000 years. The world was created in 6 days, and we have this concept. Whatever it means, no one really knows what it means. The world will exist for 7,000 years. 6,000 of this world, olam haba, Shabbos, mein olam haba. We've all heard this before. We don't really get too excited about this because we really don't know what this means. But this is the pasuk. Elef shaminech yom esmo. We also have a principle that is something called olam, nefesh, and shana. There are parallels between time, place, and the neshama. Right? Yom HaKippurim. It's this combination of three things together. The holiest neshama goes into the holiest makom at the holiest time. Yom HaKippurim is the holiest time. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the holiest makom, and the Kohen Gadol is the holiest neshama. So these three things, there's a relationship. So I'm suggesting, just like in Zaman, there's a principle that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elef Shonim Beyech Beinech Kiyom Esmol, by Neshamois, one Neshama, there's such a principle is 1,000 Neshamos. There's a relationship. After all, Aleph is the same thing as Elef. Aleph and Elef was all one and the same. Remember how we discussed the letters of the Aleph base? Aleph to Tav is to 400, and then the end letters Mansapach, take you up to 900. And what comes after the last tzadi, the end tzadi, comes Aleph. You go to the Mansapach, letter number 28. The Ata, Yigdal no, Koyach Hashem, Koyach. You go back to the beginning. What's the beginning? Aleph. Aleph is Aleph, 1,000. So you go from Aleph to 400, 1 to 400, the letters, and then is 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, the Mansapach, which is a numeric system. The Mansapach, the end letters represent 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, and then what comes after 900, after the last letter of the Aleph base, the last of the 27 letters, comes the letter, you go back to the beginning. It's a Chayzer Chalila, it's a circle. It's Aleph. What is Aleph? Aleph Lamed Pei is Aleph. So Aleph and Aleph are one and the same. These 22 people were wicked. They were wicked. They issued a slanderous report on Eretz Yisrael. They caused the whole Klal Yisrael to cry a Bechia Shel Chinam. And because of that, we have Tisha B'Av. And we have a Chorban. And we have all the problems that we have because of these 22 wicked people, according to this Yerushalmi. 22, there were 24 spies, each spy and his deputy. And Chazal say, these 24 people are evil with the exception of Yehoshua Vikalev. We're down now to 22 people who are evil. And we're Mevakesh, now I'm saying, Josh, Parship Shad is Shuva Hashem. Hashem, may you return and rest your divine presence amongst Klal Yisrael. Drush. Shuva Hashem Rivavois Alfe Yisrael. We're not asking Hashem that he should return. Hashem's here. He didn't go anywhere. He's with us all the time. Hashem, help us be Mekarev, the Poishe Yisrael. Who were the first Jews who went off the derech? These Jews. The first significant time in history where Jews went off the derech were these 22 Jews. 24 spies, 22 of them went to Eretz Yisrael with evil intentions, came back and wounded for everyone. These are the Poishe Yisrael, terrible sinners. What are we requesting? And each neshama is really shakel keneged elef. Alef elef. 22,000 in the big picture, the misper gadol. Shuva Hashem. Shuva means Shuva Yisrael. Ad Hashem Elokecha. Ki choshalta ba'avoynecha. Shaba Shuva. It's the same word. What the Pshuta Shel Mikra, we're asking Hashem, come back, come back, come back. We're not asking Hashem to come back, we're asking the Jews to come back. The Jews who have gone off the derech, who have done terrible averos, Hashem, Shuva Hashem, Rivivois, Alfei Yisrael. These 22,000 neshamos, which are captured in the Eido Horoho Hazois. Eido Horoho Hazois is Chutz Mishua V'Kolev, 22 Nishamois. Ki Elef Shonim De'Einecha Ki Yoim Esmol. Just like in Zeman, Elef is equal to Aleph, so too in Nishama, Elef is Shokol Kineged Aleph. These 22 sinners, they really capture in the Gans Klal Yisrael all of the Poishe Yisrael. When do the Poishe Yisrael have a tendency to do averos? When we travel. Golos. What Golos can do to a Jew, nothing can do. There's no such nisayon. When we go into Golos, we experience the Holocaust, Inquisition, pogroms, expulsions, Chmelnytsky massacres, Tatnu, the Crusades. That is a very challenging time for Klal Yisrael. And that opens up a lot of nisyonos in Klal Yisrael, where we have a tendency to lose some of our best. Vayihi bin soya ha'oroin. When the oroin travels, what is the oroin traveling? When we're traveling in golos, the 42 masois represents the golos of Klal Yisrael for 2,000 years. We need to survive. First thing is, Hashem, protect us. Help us get through the golos. Wipe out our enemies. But what about the collateral damage? I'll take this off. What about the collateral damage? What about the collateral damage of all of those neshamas? Of all of those neshamas that have been lost? Shuva Hashem. We make a request from you. Shuva, Rivavois Alfei Yisrael, the 22,000 casualties, collateral damage that occurs because of Golis, Hashem, help us help them. Give us the ability to bring them back to Klal Yisrael. Why would you say the number 22,000 is the number which represents the Poshe Yisrael? Look at Parsha Shelach. Read the Yerushalmi. It says here there were 12 people who went to spy on the land. And the Pasuk says, Ish Echad, Ish Echad. And the Yerushalmi says, what's the repetition? Don't give me an answer, Dibritar Kalashon Bnei Adam. The better answer is, each one of these Meraglim had a deputy. That means there were 24 spies. And what became of the 24 spies? They all turned sour, with the exception of two, Yehoshua v'Kalev. So we have 22 neshamas which turned sour. And a neshama of this caliber in the time of the Mishkan is shakol kineged, 1,000 neshamas. Well, today there were only 600,000 neshamas, males, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Today there are 15,000 Jews that we know of in the world. 50 million Jews in the world. So how do you go from, obviously certain neshamas, it represents a much bigger thing. And if Chazal tells us that by the Ribbono Shel Olam, Elef Shonim Einecha Kiyoyim Esmol, each neshama here, Aleph, each neshama really represents 1,000. The 22 miraglim that turned sour, they are symbolic of Rachmana Litzlan, the collateral damage that we suffer in the Tekufa of Ayehi Ben Soya Ha'aroin. We need Hashem, Kuma Hashem v'yafut soivecha, but we also need drush, not what it says ungulus, the drush. Hashem, shuva Hashem. Hashem, have rachmanis on us. Be influential. Allow things to happen. Allow us to help us bring about shuva, repentance, for the rivivois alfei Yisrael, the 22,000 Jews. Okay, let's go to another idea.
How do we get back to the ship of dominion?
No, there's no answer to that question. Halacha lemaisa, don't you dare. Halacha lemaisa minus 10. Don't even mention this. Halacha lemaisa minus 10. People, we don't paskin like this. We paskin like the Bavli. There were 12 people. Mitoicho edu hara v'zehu. This is just a machshava. Okay, now let's go to I want to tell you now a little bit of just a ha'ara. Okay, just for a few minutes, a ha'ara. This is not a full vart, but there's something that has to be developed, and I'll leave it for you to fully develop on your own. A diuk, just a short little diuk, simple diuk. Moshe, they come back from the Meraglim, come back, and now they issue their slanderous report. The slanderous report, if you put yourself in the shoes of the Meraglim, what are you going to say? First of all, you know, Rashi says, you have to start off with something good. Okay? Public speaker has to start off, you want to give Musar, you never start off with Musar. You first start off with praise. High praise, this is Pashat, right? You want someone's attention, you don't start swinging. You first say thank you, and you're polite, and you say all of the mailos, and then after you express all of the good things about the institution, then, by the way, I have one little complaint, okay? And that one little complaint is a big complaint. That's poshut. So when you're going to say over the mailos of Eretz Yisrael, you just come back and you visit Eretz, so you're going to say over the mailos, what are you going to say? This is just infinite. There's an infinite amount of material of good things that you can say before you go, and you go into the nasty things that you want to say. So the pasuk tells us we have over here. What it says over here is they come to Moshe the Aron, Yelch Vayol Moshe Vayol Aron, they'll call Dasma Yisrael El Midbar Paran Kodesha Vayoshivo Samdavar Vyeskol Hoeda Vayarom Es Priyaretz. And now they begin their speech. Now the first member of the Meraglim gets up. And he opens his mouth, and he says nice things. Vayisapru loy, vayoymru, bonu. We've gone on the mission. El ha'oretz asher shlachtanu. First words of praise are vigam. That's the first word. Vigam. Also, gam means also, and the vav means also. It's like a double. Vigam. Vigam. Zovas cholov udvash. He. Vizepiria. It is a land that also flows with milk and honey. Interesting. Milk and honey? Who? Mandakar Shemei. It's the name of a restaurant? What's this all about? The Gam Zavas Cholov Udvash. What about Eretz Chita Useoira Gefen Rimoin? They show the intro. Eretz intro the Chita Useoira. They're just selective. The gam, what's the gam? And what else? And it says, by the way, it says vizet period. They said the period afterwards. First, it's vegam. All the things, chol of milk and honey. What about all the other things there is to say about Eretz Yisrael? That it's a land where there's rain. You're not going to have to irrigate the field like Moshe Rabbeinu later on says. And we used to in Egypt. Egypt, it was back-breaking labor to irrigate the fields. There's so many things to say. V'gam zavas cholavudvash. So what's the answer? The Ribbono Shel Olam, when he showed the land to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and praised the land, never ever said that it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Never. The first one to mention the land flows with milk and honey was Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, look in Parshas Vo'era, when Moshe Rabbeinu talks to Klal Yisrael and Hashem, he tells them something they never heard about. The land flows with milk and honey. Not only does it have all of the mailos, the beautiful mailos, that they have a legacy, they have a tradition from Avraham Yitzchak. You can imagine, they're living over here in Egypt for 210 years. And before they went to Egypt, they lived in Eretz Canaan. There were 70 souls who went down, 70 adults who went down to Mitzrayim. Those 70 souls certainly had a legacy, a tradition from Avraham Yitzchak and their father Yaakov, that we're going to one day inherit the entire Eretz Canaan. And there was never any mention the land will ever produce milk and honey. Whatever, I'm not going into the details of what that means, the symbolism. But it's a term. They would never had this term. They go down to Egypt, they're there for 210 years. They're all talking, they're dreaming about one day returning to the Holy Land. We're going to go back to a Holy Land. And they never heard of this thing called milk and honey. All of a sudden shows up one day a new person on the scene, Moshe Rabbeinu. He comes from Yisro with his wife, and he says, guess what? Pokod pokadati. I'm here to take you to the Holy Land. And I'll tell you about the Holy Land. Yeah, we know about it. You're not telling us in the Chidushim. No, but let me tell you something you don't know about. The land also has Cholav Udvash. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who introduced this principle to the Jewish people. When the Meraglim come back, they said to Klal Yisrael, Vigam, Zovas Cholavudvash. Moshe sent us, Shlach Licho Anoshim. Beginning of the parasha. Moshe, you want to send? Licho. This is not me, this is you. It's you, Moshe. They go to Eretz and they come back and they say, We're coming back and we're telling about two things. The Ovois, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all the beautiful Milois that are described in Chumash Bereishis. And also, it's true, the addition of Moshe Rabbeinu that it's Zovas Cholav Udvash. Okay, it's all true. But, FS, we have a long list of complaints. Fine. Yehoshua and Kalev, or more specifically, Kalev gets up to silence the people. So when he comes to silence the people, how does it begin? He gets up. When he heard the slanderous report, they rise Korea. Vayomer when they saw Kaladas Bnei Yisrael Leimar. Ha'aretz Asher Avarnu Vol Osuri Saw Toivaretz Meoid Meoid. It's very good. Then you go further. Im Chofetz Banu Hashem. Ve'evios if Hashem wants, He will bring us El Aretz Hazos Unisano Lanu. Eretz a land Asher He Zovas Cholav Udvash. They leave out the word gan. There's a very big difference between Yehoshua and Kalev, what the Meraglim said. They're both praising Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim praise Eretz Yisrael as a Pesach to criticize it, and their praise began with the words Vigan Zovas Cholav Udvash. But Yehoshua and Kalev, they say it's an Eretz Asher He Zovas Cholav Udvash. What about the Gan? What about all of the other Milois that they know about from the others? That they're leaving out. Why? So I want to suggest, I don't know if this is true, but you have to delve into this. They were giving the Meraglim very powerful Musa. And in essence, what they're saying is, you're a bunch of liars. You have an agenda. Your agenda is one thing only, to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu. When you come and you praise the land, what do you say? The Avos, it's a beautiful land. Hashem gave this to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There are Tzvei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael. This is a very basic insight. In Eretz Yisrael, there are two Dinim. Talk Briska Torah. There are Tzvei Dinim. There's a Din of the Avos. It's the land that was given to us from the Avos. And there's a din that is given to us from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a land from the Avos, and there's a land Moshe. Now you can do whatever however you want to develop it. Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu represents the land of Torah. The Avos represents the land of Ki Ato Yedati Ki Yirei Elokim Ato. Okay, there are Tzvei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael: a din of Avos, a din of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Meraglim say they're both MS. The Milus of the Ovos, the Milus of Moshe Rabbeinu, they're both here. Vigan, Moshe's Eretz Yisrael is defined in terms of Cholav Udvash. Torah, by the way, is compared to both Cholav Udvash. Okay, that's why in Shavuos we have Cholav, and Torah is also called Dvash. Moshe's addition to the land is, it's a Torahical land. The Ovois' contribution to the land, it's a land of Yira Shamayim. Ki ato yodati ki yirei elukim ato. A land of Avodah, of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Moshe is the one who gave the Torah, so Moshe's contribution to the land, it's a land of Torah. The Ovois is a land of Yira Shamayim, Avodah, and Yaakov, with Emes, v'chulu v'chulu. When they say Dvashu Cholav, it's a code word for Moshe, and when they talk about the land, it's for Ovois. The Meraglim say everything is MS. The Ovois and Moshe Rabbeinu, but we got problems. The first thing that the Yeshua V'Kalev say to the Meraglim is, you bunch of creeps. You have one agenda here. Your agenda is to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's first correct your praise. They're coming to give Musar to your praise. You said that the land is Gam. It's Gam, it's the Avos, and it's also Moshe. Everything about these two contributors is correct. But we have complaints. And our complaints now are directed both against the Avos, what they have bequeathed to us, the Mirasha from the Avos, and you're coming to challenge the Mirasha of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Meraglim say, the Yeshuva Kalev says, no, that's not what you're coming to complain about. You're only coming to really complain about our leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't like him. You don't like his leadership. You don't like his approach. You're using this experience of spying on the land, not because there's really anything wrong with the land. It's just a tool to challenge his leadership.
It's a pretext
to challenge his leadership. We'll get a new leader, and with the new leader, we'll go to Eretz Yisrael. You just do not want Moshe Rabbeinu to be the one who takes us into this land. So don't come say now, oh, everything is fine and good. The Avos, we can't wait to come to the Avos. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we love him. And no, we got problems, so we have a problem. The Yeshuva Kalev says, no. Let's correct what you really meant to say. Im chofetz banu Hashem evi'oi sanu el oretz hazos u'misolanu. If Hashem wants, he can bring us into the land, because this is the land of, let's focus on what the issue is. Eretz asher hi, the soul, the he is a very important word, zovas cholov udvash. Let's cut out all of your smoke and mirrors, and let's get to the crux of the issue. This is not just a praise of the land. They're coming to directly correct the words of the Meraglim when they started with the word Gam Zavas Cholav Udvash. Yeah?
Isn't Gam a downplaying of it, a making it into something secondary?
You can say different things. I hear what you're saying, but I want to focus on this idea. I want to focus on this idea of that the ikur defiance of the Meraglim was not against the land. The land was a pretext to undermine the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Look what he did to us. He took us out of Egypt.
Does that set up next week's challenge?
Yes. It fits into the entire theme of everything that's been going on until now, everything that's going to follow until now. If you pay close attention, everything in Bamidbar is where they're challenging Moshe. We'll end the last week of the parasha. Miriam and Aaron, okay, his closest people. V'chirak v'chidud Hashem, only speak, only did Hashem speak to Moshe? He spoke to us also. Gambanu, why was Moshe poresh from his wife? Okay, Koyrach, certainly. Kolam kulam kidoishim uvesoichem Hashem madua tisnasu v'kal Hashem. They challenged Moshe that you with the sloth. What did you do to us? You took us out of Egypt, you gave us. There is a lot of strife when you look behind the scenes. It's not about the food. It's not about the fish and the mon and the land. Everything is just a pretext to a resentment they have against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? I don't have a good answer. The only answer is that's nature. That's natural. That's the human condition. A person who does everything for you, you hate. Okay, that's what? What do you mean? A person who does, okay, I understand now. A person who does everything, Mr. Barth is not here today, but Mr. Barth used to tell me that when he took a course in psychology, he took a course in psychology in Brooklyn College. He walked in the first day, the professor walks in, and what the professor, what he says, he walks in, looks at the students, and he said with a lot of drama, the way he described it, he says, don't all of you hate your mother? Doesn't every single person here have a deep, deep-seated hatred for your mother? And they all looked at him in shock. And he says, she does everything for you. What has your mother not done for you? What has your mother not done for you? And he's basically telling them that because she has done everything for you, the psychology class, it's human nature to hate the person. It is a resentment because a person was born with a desire to of Nahama Dikisufa, bread of embarrassment. A person has a need to earn his own. And when someone gives you something for free, it may be fun in the beginning, a nice handout, but ultimately it eats you up. A person has a need to make his own path in life, and you resent it. And the nesoyin of life is kabeid esavicha v'yasimecha, ish imo v'aviv tiroh. Why did the Torah need to go out of its way to emphasize? It's pashut. Even goyim honor their parents. It's pashut. The Torah is not so pashut. There's a lot of work because since they've given you everything that you have, your very existence, you got to work on yourself. It's part of, it's a good, it's a maila to resent it because that's what keeps the world going. That's what caused a person to have she'ifas to accomplish, to strive to succeed. So that's what the Torah has to end. You're right. You got a good point. But nevertheless, work on your midos. They still did everything for you. So love them, honor them, fear them. If this is true to the person who brought you into Olam Hazeh, Al Achas, Kama V'Kama, Ben Binoy Shal Kal V'Choymer, to the person who brings you to Olam Haba, Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought the Torah down in Hashemayim and has literally given us everything. And the whole Chumash Bamidbar is, they're nitpicking. Where does it come from? What do they want from this poor guy? What did he do for them? What? He complains bitterly. Hargeini no haroig. I can't take these people. All of the nisyonos, when you read between the lines, it's not about the fish and the melons and the cucumbers and these little kleinekite. It's all narishkite. It's all pretext that something is eating them up. And it's natural. And we know it's natural. We know in life we get all worked up about things and we sit back years later and we reflect, what was it all about anyway? What do we really care about? We made a big issue. Was it really about the money? Was it really about... It was about other things.
Cover,
that's usually what it is. You got it? But in Chofetz Banu, and I this needs more development, but I believe there's a kernel of truth here because there's a very important diuk. When they come, their first words are... Banu el ha'oretz asher shalachtanu. V'gam. The Meraglim said, V'gam. Zovas cholav udvash. What's V'gam? Zovas cholav udvash are the code words for Moshe Rabbeinu. This was his contribution. The oretz, Chumash Bereishis, there's no zovas cholav udvash. There are other milas that are mentioned there. They come... Oh, it's nothing to do about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the gam. Gam. Moshe is a secondary. The Iker Taina is the land that Hashem gave to the Ovois is no good. Nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not challenging our holy, fearless leader. We're not coming to bother to chep it with him. Secondary. The Ovois, the gam. Moshe is only a gam. Yeshua V'Kalev say to them, you're a bunch of phonies, you're a bunch of creeps, bunch of liars. There's only one issue here. Everything is a pretext. It's you're coming to challenge Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash. You're coming to challenge our leader. Eretz Asher Hi Zavas Cholav Udvash. That's what you're coming to attack. You're not coming to attack the Ovos. You're coming to attack Moshe. You have an issue with Moshe Rabbeinu. You're jealous of him. You can't take it that he did everything for you. He's successful. He brought you to where you are. And this is the whole theme of the Chumash Bamidbar over and over again. The challenge to the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Can I say something? Here that they say Erez Zavat Cholav Udvash. He's right that Moshe Rabbeinu told us Erez Zavat Cholav Udvash. But sometimes he want to say lies. At first he is going to say it's a truth. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu told us Erez Zavat Cholav Udvash is right. One side of the scenario. But the other side, they are going to say lie. They want the people to believe them that they are going, all of them, to lose. Someone is going to lie, first say something in math, and after that is going to say sheker.
Right, you have to say a small truth, as Rashi says.
Yes, what Chalav Dosh is emet.
Correct, that's what Rashi, according to Rashi, Rashi says in order to succeed in saying a law, you have to introduce it with a bit of truth. Correct, absolutely, absolutely. When you're saying it's 100% on the mark,
that's
with Rashi.
That's why Terry also emphasized so much how much Moshe Rabbeinu was an honor.
Exactly. He was an honor. He really was. Exactly. Okay, let's do one more var. Let's give you kind of one more quick var. This is a very powerful Muslim, the Kotzker Rebbe, and I want to add one little hosafa to this beautiful idea. When they complained about the land, they mention the land is the Shomri Inu, Es Hanifilim. When we were in the land, we saw the giants. Okay, not the New York Giants, but the real giants. We saw the Nephilim. B'nei Anok. Men Anephilim. V'anehi ve'inenu kacha govim. We were in their eyes. V'anehi ve'inenu. Us. When we looked at them, we felt like chagovim in their eyes. We were so teeny, teeny, teeny. When we looked up at them, we felt like. And then they add three words, which opens up a whole world. Whole can of worms. V'chein hayinu be'einehem. When they look down on us, we look in their eyes like we were locusts.
God.
We were chagovim. The Gemara discusses this pasuk and says it's a lie. How do you know? It's true. If you want to say that when you were there and you looked up, we're like a grasshopper relative to this giant gesunte hate. You can say whatever you want. You know what they're thinking? How do you know what they're thinking? You know how to read someone's mind? The chain ha-yinu, we were be'einehem. They looked down on us, they saw these teeny little cockroaches, and they said, look at that, they are little grasshoppers running. How do you know? How do you know what they were thinking? The Gemara says, as a discussion, the Gemara concludes, this was an outright lie. The Mechilta Medrash goes more, elaborates and says, not only do they lie, they thought they were malachim, angels. When these 12 spies, we want to call 24 spies, they were walking, and these massive giants, they saw Malachi Elohim. They were afraid of these 12 little people because they thought a Malach has to be big. How big is a Malach? No, I don't know. What's the size of a Malach? We don't know what the Malachim look like. Unless you say before you go to Beis HaKissa, Yischavdu Mechubadai. But they didn't look at you like grasshoppers. They looked at you like Malachim. Okay, that's what the Mechilta says. Amazing. The Kotzker Rebbe, in addition to this Mechilta, in addition to the Gemara that says it was an outright lie in Adrabi Malachim, the Kotzker Rebbe says, even if it was true, let's say Taka Yitru, Rashi seems to say it was true. Rashi seems to say they heard them saying. Rashi seems to take it literally. I don't know, Rashi ignores the Mechilta. The Midrash and them that disagree. Let's say it's Taka true. The Kotzker Rebbe says, this was a terrible thing to say because who cares what someone thinks about you? Okay, mamash, typical kotzkevart. Yikoyf hadin esahar, the emes. That's a sin. Who cares? You have a mission. You have a mission to go to Eretz Yisrael, to conquer the land. You're worried what someone thinks about you. Even if it's true, even if they look at you as a cockroach, you are doing what is correct. Hashem told you to go into this land. The people living in this land are evil as can possibly be. They worship their children to the gods. They are morally corrupt, thoroughly morally corrupt. Hashem says these people have to go. This land has to be occupied by the Jewish people, the Zehu, to observe my Torah. you do what you're told to do, and it's a sin to say, oh, I'm worried. What are they going to say in the Welt? What are they going to say? It's a very powerful Musa Haskell in life. Now, that's the Kotzkevar. I told you I'm a Chilta. And told a Kotzkevar. Now, I don't want to add one Haisafa, one Mula Haisafa. Last week's parsha, the beginning of the parsha. I don't have a good answer to this question. You're going to have to really elaborate or include this. Last week's parsha, we learned about the menorah. And it says the menorah has how many neiros? El mol penei ha-menorah yo'iru shivas ha-neiros. Shivas is a hard word because Rashi clearly says that what does this pasuk mean? You should tilt the six branches of the menorah towards the center shaft, towards the center near. El mul pinay. The pinay means the center, and the six branches shall be tilted towards the center. Why? Why would you want to do that? You don't see this. When you go and look at a chanukiah, you don't see the branches tilt towards the center. Rashi says, Shelo yoimru. No one should say, Le'oiro hu tzarech. We're concerned about Hashem's reputation. Because if the branches stand tall and separate, people think the reason why you need a menorah in the Mishkan is because it's dark. It's dark. You need light. Hashem, it's Hashem's house. Hashem is dark. Hashem needs a little illumination. So in order to provide illumination, Hashem commanded us to create this beautiful candelabra and have seven candles be lit in order to provide the dark God with light. What a chil Hashem. Vayomer l'kim yihi or. Rashi goes on to say Hashem is kula or. Hashem doesn't need your light. Hashem is or. Hashem is the makar of or. He doesn't need your light. So therefore, in order that shelo yoimru, no one should say something nasty, get the wrong impression. I want you to tilt all the neiros towards the center, which means it's going to produce the least possible light. It's like a flashlight. All the flashlights are pointed to the same exact point, and therefore you're going to minimize the light. Question. Over here, we just learned the Kotzker Rebbe. He says, like Rashi, l'chein hayinu b'neihem, that in the eyes, let's say it's true, in the eyes of the giants, we heard them say, look, there are grasshoppers walking around here. And over the Kotzker Rebbe says, this was a chet gadol for them to say, v'chein hayinu b'neihem, who cares? That's not the point. Who cares what they think? It's not. And yet when it comes to the lighting of the menorah, ha-menorah ha-tahorah, in the Beis HaMikdash, where no one even goes in there to see what's going on, shelo yoimru, we are concerned what people are going to say. Why here are we not concerned, and over there we are concerned? So you got to think about it. But one simple suggestion is, it's a lesson in life, it all depends from whose perspective. When it comes to yourself, the asisa hayoshar vehatov. Hashem once gives you a mission. You don't have a choice. You have to do what's right. You're afraid shelo yoimru? Too bad for you. It's too bad. Can't care what people have to say when you have to do the right thing. When you have the right thing to do, you got to do it. Who cares? But when it comes to someone else, then it is your duty to enhance the situation to preserve someone's reputation. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a reputation. It's his Beis HaMikdash. We are here to defend HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo Yoimru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taught us a lesson that when it comes to the Or HaTorah, when it comes to the Or HaTorah, it shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem out there in the world that people say that the Torah is corrupt. The Torah, the menorah, represents the Or HaTorah, represents, and if in the world, in the New York Times, they're saying nasty things and they're getting the wrong, they don't get it, it's our duty to come to Hashem's defense. When it comes to your personal issues, If you are personally in a situation, of course, we have a halach in the Torah of the asitza yoshev v'hayisim nikiyim may Hashem Yisrael avada. A person has to go and protect himself. It goes without saying, but there are times in life when you can't. There are situations in life when you have to do something. No, it's Hashem said to do it, but there's going to be a problem. No, then it's a sin to say v'chein hayinu b'einehem. That's for yourself. But when it comes to defend the Ribbono shel Olam and his Torah and someone else, you have to step up to the plate. El mul p'nei ha-menori yi'iru shivas ha-neiros shelo yoimu. No one should get the wrong impression and think there's a deficiency in the menorah ha-tahora, which represents the Torah HaKadosha and Hashem's gift to this world. May you all have a wonderful Shabbos. Amen.